speak to us. Lord Jesus, we ask you to go on with us and perfect in us what is still missing, what is still lacking, so that we can be well-pleasing to the Father. Let's read John 11, verse 25. John 11, verse 25. This is the second part of the outline. Message number 8. I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. So let's read John 11. 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. I know your works, and yet you have the name that you are alive, but you are dead. Maybe it would make more sense first to talk about the Lord as the resurrection and life, and then once we live, then we can talk about drinking. Why did we do it the other way around here? But this is the order that we see in the Gospel of John, and so we kept to this order. So we just keep to the Word. We remain faithful to the Word. He says in John 11, I am resurrection and the life. We've already mentioned resurrection during this conference. Can anyone remember when Clemens mentioned resurrection when he was talking about the Spirit? We had the ingredients of the Spirit, and one of these ingredients of the Holy Spirit was resurrection. We learned that resurrection is in our spirit. We know this. And now the Lord says, I am. The Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. And why do we need resurrection? We're all alive here, aren't we? More or less. Some of us are tired. But we live, right? We're alive. We're not dead. There's no dead people here. At least I don't think so. At least I don't have it in our eyes. Boy, are you living? Yeah, really? Are you really alive? Okay. Yeah, we all are alive. We all live. So why does the Lord say, I'm the resurrection and the life? What's so special about this? We're all alive anyways, aren't we? There's a point to be made here. And I want to show you this at the beginning so that we can understand what it's about. 1 Corinthians 15, that there are two types of people. There are two men. The first man, his name is Adam. The first man was named Adam. And what is with this first man? He's dead. The Bible says he's dead. Dead through sin. It's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. This is in 1 Corinthians 15:45a. And in part B, it says, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So we see here there are two Adams. One Adam is the first Adam, and then there's the second, that's the last Adam. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who is this last Adam? Jesus Christ. It's the spirit. This spirit that we described a few meetings ago, and in this spirit we saw we have the resurrection, but we want to show that there are two types of life here. And I want to also show you how God judges these two types of life. This is Romans 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And in Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, just to strengthen this, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That means for God, we are dead. In our normal being, our natural being, the way we are normally, people are dead to God. Is it nice to have a dead person in front of you? What do you do if someone's dead? You bury them. Bury them under the ground. Because a dead person has no value. A good friend of mine recently died. It was a good friend of mine. I did a lot with him, and I was at his funeral. But at his funeral, he wasn't there. He wasn't there anymore. His body, his corpse is of no value. It's useless. Yeah, he said, when I die, I want to be cremated. So you see, he had no appreciation for his body. He knew it would be of no use when it's dead. And the body is useless. If you don't deal with dead corpses, like in areas of war, then it's not only useless, but it starts to spread diseases and damage its surrounding. Yeah, leave somebody dead for 3 days. He smells really bad. I'm trying to show you that for God, we are dead. People are dead for God. And what did this death come from? We've read this often. We know this, but I think it's important for us to be aware of this. What did death come, where did it come from? Through sin. And sin entered into all men, to all men. It spread out through all men, and that's why death spread to all men. That's what we just read in Romans 5, verse 12. And what is the consequence? What is the direct result of this sin? It's death. Death. Did God create us to be dead? Certainly not. God wanted to have a relationship to men. He wanted to be glad with him. He wanted that awesome man is glad about God. And we read that God wants us to bring him sacrifices. We men, we should bring him sacrifices. So what do you do with the dead, with dead people? Yeah, when we are dead, we are without value for God. We're useless for God. The Lord really needs to show this to us today. So what happened? We all know it, but we need to see it anew this morning, I think. What happens with this situation, with this condition? How can we get rid of sin? How do you get rid of sin? I think we all know it. Yeah. We are very exercised in dealing with our sins in the church life. We have a conscience, and this conscience reacts in us. The Lord Himself, He reacts in us as soon as sin arises, as soon as sin is there. But what do we do? What do you do if you want to get rid of sin? You repent, and you take the blood. When you have sinned, you take the blood. We have received the blood from the Lord. We can prove this in Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. We believe this. And because we believe this, through the cross and through the blood of the Lord, we know that sin has been done away with. We can claim this so that we can have a good conscience. Yeah? This is our offering. A lot of people have been telling me, I don't understand all these offerings, and there's so many different types of offerings. This is our offering. We bring the Lord Jesus as an offering to the Father. If we have sinned, right, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, they had to bring a lamb, and the lamb was slaughtered and was offered, sacrificed. And then it was clear that for the Israelites, their sin was done away with, was gone through this. And when we have sinned, we want to come to the Father. What do we have to do? I bring the Lord, and I tell the Father, Father, I bring you your Son as my offering. I come to you with your Son. Your sin, your Son is my sin and trespass offering, and I come to you with this offering. That's how I do it. And I believe, and the Father confirms it, that this offering is effective. Look, I just talked about two offerings. It's so easy. It's very simple. Sin and the trespass offering. The Lord is our sin and trespass offering. And we have to take Him as our offering. You cannot come to the Father if you don't take the Lord as your sin and trespass offering. These offerings are, it's an obligation. They are mandatory. Okay, so now with these two offerings, these mandatory offerings, our sin is gone. And now what's left over? Death is still there. And this is the problem for God. Sin has been dealt with, and then we feel good because our conscience has been cleansed. But God doesn't just want our sins to be cleansed and that our conscience is free, but He wants us to live. Look, when we preach the gospel, what do we preach? We often preach, Jesus died for you, and Jesus resurrected. Right? Isn't that our gospel? Because we know it. But now, when we talk about reality and truth, we need to experience the resurrection. We need to have an awareness for death. We need to start to get a discernment between death and life. In the church, only life counts. Imagine the Lord comes back and we, His church, we are dead. I don't think this is a nice place for Him to be around. That's why He spoke so strongly to the church in Sardis. Look, they did a lot. They had a lot of works. He said, I know your works. And they even have the name that they're alive. That means they had the right doctrine, but they were dead. And we heard this through several sharings, that the death can come in so quickly. And I would say that most Christians are dead. Why? Because they skip this second step. They don't even have an awareness for the fact that they need life. That they need life. We need to live. We need to be alive. This is very, very important for God that we live. You know, we describe this rich spirit that has so many wonderful ingredients inside of us, but we can only apply the spirit if we are alive, right? This is clear. If you're dead, you have no access to the spirit in you. This rich spirit has to be experienceable, and we can only experience it when we are alive. And when life is in us, then we have the access to our spirit. What is death? What is spiritual death? Is it tangible for us? This has to be tangible for us. Brothers and sisters, sometimes I come into the meeting. All the brothers and sisters just sit there like this. It's so silent. Sometimes I have to work and I come to the meeting later, in the middle of the meeting. It's not always living. The meeting is not always so living. If there are 20 people there and only 5 are alive, but 15 are not alive, this death, it really penetrates everything else. It spreads out. This is not nice for the Lord. The Lord wants that each one of us is alive. It's important. If there's one dead person among us, back then when the people of Israel, they dealt with death very, very seriously, very thoroughly. If you touched a corpse, then you had to cleanse yourself very thoroughly. You had to leave for a certain time. That means death is not a small matter for God. We have to understand what this verse means. I am the resurrection and the life. We just read the verse as it's written there, but we need to see how important it is for us to have life, how important it is for us to have this reality in the church, because for God, death is horrible. If we are dead, we are worthless for God. And there is no expression in the church if we have death in us. In the church, to the church in Sardis, he says there's a way to escape this death. Maybe we can read this in Revelation chapter 3. He says, be watchful, verse 2, and strengthen the things that which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. There's always an escape out of death. There's always a way to get out of death. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. This is what this wonderful brothers and sisters. We do need to see when there is death, and we need to see this clearly, but we do not abide in death because the Lord overcame death. The Lord himself has the victory over death. That's what we're preaching the entire time. The Lord resurrected. He was dead, but he became living again. Let's read some verses that prove this. Hebrews 2, verse 14, for example. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil.
Amen.
This is a proof. We have someone who destroyed death. And where is this person? We learned. Where is he? He's in us. He's in our spirit. In us, we have the person, the same person from Hebrews 2, verse 14. This same person, this same Lord is in us. And what did he do? Through his death, he destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. We have this Lord in us. And there are other verses, for example, 1 Corinthians 15, 45, Ephesians 1, verse 20. So many verses that prove that the Lord overcame death. We have to experience this, brothers and sisters. Because now the Lord, he overcame death. But if we want to enter into this truth, then we have to experience it. Yeah. Truth is this experience. We've learned this. Because we don't live according to this old Adam who is dead through sin, but we live through the new man, through the Spirit, through the life-giving Spirit. This should be our experience. Then we have the reality. If we want to bring offerings for the Lord, we have to be alive. And we learn that the offerings are not only for Sunday, but the offering have to be prepared throughout the week. The meal offering has to be prepared. We heard it has to be baked or fried. That means you have to be alive, otherwise you cannot prepare anything. It's important that we are alive. Brothers and sisters, death comes so quickly. Comes in so quickly. Just dwells in us somehow still. And I experience death myself also still very often. But we need to experience resurrection. We need to enter into the reality of resurrection. And we shouldn't be ambivalent towards death, especially not in the church. You know, death really has taken over Christianity. Yeah, the world is not alive, of course, yeah. The world has to try to cover up the death with certain masks or whatever. But in Christianity, if they do not partake of resurrection, then they also start adapting all of these masks and these other things to try to become alive again. We heard this also in this conference. This is our danger. We can do the same if we're not careful. If we're dead, then we start to look for a replacement. We start doing rituals or some sort of tradition, or we start adapting things from the world, and that shouldn't be. In us, life should reign. The life of the Lord must rule in us. What did Paul say? We read yesterday in Philippians 3, verse 10. What did Paul say here? Someone can read it aloud, or I'll read it aloud, okay, otherwise it'll last too long. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Yeah. We're just going to do the first part, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Look, Paul had this desire, this longing to know the Lord as the living one, as the resurrection. We also need such a desire, such a longing to know the Lord as our resurrection. Now we can understand this verse well, right? When we live, if we're alive, then the supply is also, it's well balanced, right? It's a good sign, it's a good indication. If you notice that the supply isn't good anymore, then it's very well possible that maybe death has started to spread out among us. It's an indication for life or death. We need to learn to recognize these indicators and then go to the Lord to deal with it. The life of the Lord is not that we all just flip out and praise with huge loud voice. And sometimes we have strange concepts what it means to be alive. The life of the Lord is full of power. The life of the Lord works in us for his good pleasure. And the life of the Lord is astonishingly normal. It's very well balanced. We have the life of the Lord. We have a continuous supply. Yeah, we won't just be flooded at once, but it's a river flowing. We are attached to the Lord, joined to the Lord. This is an indication that we have received the life of the Lord. Sometimes when you go to some Christian groups, I've experienced this myself. I speak from my experience. They think it brings life if we have a really loud worship group and we scream out, "Oh Lord Jesus," then everyone is alive. Brothers and sisters, this is not life. If you pull the plug of the band, then life is gone. You see, this is not the true life. We need the true life. We need to know the life of the Lord. Let's read some more verses, because yesterday I really enjoyed to eat the Word. When we come to the Word, we come to the Lord Jesus himself. Now when we read 1 Corinthians 12 verse 20, then we can partake of it. But now indeed there are 1 Corinthians 12, 20. In Romans 8, verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, and He lives in you, then also He who resurrected Christ out of the dead will make your mortal bodies alive through the Spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8, verse 11. That was Romans 8, verse 11. Brothers and sisters, we need to touch the Lord in these verses as He who resurrected, as He who has life. Then this life becomes our reality. We need to really desire this from the Lord and expect it from the Lord. Now let's read together Revelation 1, verse 17. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, verse 18, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.
Hallelujah.
I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. Amen. Brothers and sisters, is there a larger enemy than death? Is there any enemy larger than death? I can do a lot to you, Johannes, but if you're dead, I can't do anything else to you. That's it. Often we have a lot of problems, so we have to see death is our biggest problem. Our death is our biggest problem. But the Lord overcame this death. And He even has the keys of Hades and of death. He took the keys away from the enemy. He took His keys and He has them. Ding, ding, ding. And now, whenever we're dead, we should go to Him who has the key. This is what we should do. You know, I'm a janitor. At a school, I have the keys to the school. And whenever anyone wants to get into the school, like a teacher after hours, then they have to come to me because I have the keys. I have the keys. So we have to go to the Lord. If you want life, you have to go to the Lord. He has the keys. He has the keys of Hades and of death. The enemy has no power over us anymore. Let us experience this word. And I would like to say at the end, to a certain extent, it really requires our faith. We heard this from Clemens, that faith is the way. Sometimes we have death in front of us. We see death. But we also have life in front of us. So what do? We choose life. We can see this in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you have been called. Look, we are called to eternal life in Christ, to have partake of resurrection. That's what we are called for. And He even says fight. That means sometimes it really is a fight. We can't just fight against death, but we can fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of it on eternal life. Often we want to have so many things, and we give so much to receive what we want. We fight, and we're so diligent. We need to use our fighting and our diligence to lay hold onto this eternal life. Fight and say, Lord, I don't accept this death. Lord, you destroyed death. Lord, let me partake of your resurrection now. This is how we should come to the Lord. We shouldn't be so ambivalent about it. We need to indifferent about it. We need to fight the good fight of faith. I think if we all are alive, then the church will have such a great expression and a great effect. If every one of us are alive here at the conference, then we don't need to say much anymore, because the Lord Himself can free His burden. He won't be hindered by anything. This is really what the Father desires. Praise the Lord for this experience. experience that the Lord wants to give us, that we can lay hold of this truth. I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
At all time. Amen.